only got four summons at 4 o'clock this afternoon, but I had to get these together and get them into some order, so I hope that works. The short one, flying on Prozac. Flying on Prozac, left high and dry. All tears hoovered up, all fears stuffed away. All connection to your painful debt cut. I meet your happy face, but I miss who you are. The long view. Your hectic lunacy, making big waves, moving and shaking, ripples on the surface, the spray and splash, to all absorbing sounds, to cliffs having stood for 100 million winters. Currents sinking heavily, massaging weary continents, huge bits of Antarctica melting on southwards. Vast creatures diving deep below the waves, whales and kraken, and weirder and worse. That's where we are from. One roaming ocean, still pulsing within us, ebb and tide for eons, anchored by Earth's core of churning, raging iron, tossed by strange winds, drawn by a dead old moon. No, I have to wonder if this one rhymes, actually. Speed limit. With good reason, that powerful car designed to top 100 miles by far has legal limits put on its speed. It'd just be foolish not to heed. And that's what we need for our racing brains. For their trains of thought in one-track lanes. To stop them from steaming and stewing in stress. We keep them busy with crosswords or checks. Much better employed in accountancy than left to probe God, space, eternity. Because once let loose there, they go awry and get stuck to a fatal question. Why? And thus, many a million mind is driven to trawl for answers that can't be given. Caught in its own tangled net of doubt, it'll never manage to think its way out. We are not our brains. They're just our tools. Let's use them wisely and under our rules. That's so much safer and spares us the shrink. So, next time, think twice before you think. This is dedicated to my father. Air. She casually asks me, what's your first memory? Your parents. Instant bout of panic, shutters rattling down, sirens of suspicion and fear screeching through my brain. No, worse, tearing up my soul. I don't want to go there. Flat on my forehead, just leave me alone. Tears well up now, so hard to breathe. Stop! You're strangling me, you bastard! You monster, you fucking murderer! Take it all with you, back into your long overdue death, coward. I'm safe and cozy now, pushing the Zimmer frame along your impenetrable defense of Alzheimer's, and even evoking pity, even from me. Me who's alone now, alone to carry your burden of monstrous memories. Yes, Father, I do remember. My whole body remembers. My throat still contracts, and I think of it, and I feel it, feel you. Still, I give you a hug. And I mean it, Daddy. It makes me feel strangled all over. Will this ever be over? Will you ever leave me my own space? Will you ever let me breathe? Never mind warmth, understanding, affection, all those niceties. Just the very air to breathe. My own breath of air. Just air. Cochrane. Here comes, as clear as wind, sweated out by foggy seas into a shroud of bulging clouds, unraveling now onto hairdos, hats and hoods, and odd umbrellas, leaving us dripping, flooding the streets, gushing through gutters, gathering in gullies,
swelling the Lee, mingling with the flow down from Gugunbara, down from Inniscarra, that pleasant river among its bends, alongside parallel pipes, feeding our sinks, bar and brewery, flushing a million loos into seeping sewers, stealthily leaking through the ancient mud of the marsh that underlies Cork, oozing towards reunion with the old mainstream, down to the harbour, brackish and foul, past Black Rock Castle, imprisoning Spike Island, having a brush with cove, seaward, ocean bound, and on and round for another round, onto our heads. I didn't time that, so if you have enough, just shout enough or stop or something. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Blind. Friends are hugging my outside. The shrink scratches my skull. Keeping the gold from lighting inside, I have everyone say space. They like the same working with me. They're really all prowling around. I with these Germans lurking in me, and they in the grip of their own care. No one suspecting this rage, this manic, menacing peace is tearing at its cage. What's behind my face? Belly cotton. Pure speculation, or maybe someone knows. I walk along and wonder, why did they call you this? Long road along the cliffs, ending in a pier, and then the land not being done yet is an afterthought, an island. But why Ballycotton? Most likely just another corruption, old Irish, something making sense, the English, for the English, so the devil's quote. Our, whatever sounds. So there might be tales of ships from faraway Dixie, creaking with bales of cotton, grown by slaves there, spun by serfs here. And I daydreamed that black sailor who stayed behind and drummed all night, every night, fired by rage and rum, until the powder keg, worn through by his relentless beat, gave in, and bits of dust still stuck inside ignited, struck by a straying spark from a Spanish captain's pipe, and blew the pup to heaven. Belly cotton pup blast of 1723, high point of local history. Now you mention white fluff, floating on an evening breeze over the fields and the village. Is it froth from the sea? Is it rising from the stalks of those grasses in the bog? Or is it torn away from fresh bales on the quay? Well, there they're dancing, the late summer sun, tiny, trembling tufts, ballet cotton. I know that's not the story. The people here have other thoughts on their busy minds. They're on the island lighthouse, on ploughing, milking and grants, on sailing, shipwrecks and heavy seas, on jobs at chemical factories, on what happened at Ballymaloe, on who was saved and what was salvaged, by the courage of the lifeboat crews from that fierce, ferocious ocean, hurling itself without mercy against the snuggly smugness of this town perched safely above so much savage turmoil, hit just by occasional sprays of fluffy froth and foam. My guess, it was prosaically named after some blunt local landlord, that long dead bore, Colonel Cotton. Delivery! You rotten spoilsport, your jaundiced views. All purity and cleansing, but where's the fun? You can't stomach it? You ain't got the guts, but permanent complaints, you lily-livered sissy. The others just do their job, but you simply won't deliver. Putrid lump, stirring things up, swollen with notions of grandeur, demanding special diets, cutting out all taste, and a liverish reaction to all the things I crave. Not even a few drinks, oh no, you just won't have it. You bar me from the pubs to wallow lonely in your pain. While sour bile drips secretly, I'm climbing up the waiting list for my new life without you. Yes, liver, I'll get my transplant. Thank you. across the Jan Andrews, who died about 3 years ago. She's going to talk to. I won't shut her up now. I thought she's dying. More cruelly pressing stuff on her mind, I suppose. Am I discreet or a coward? Her eyes are as lively as ever. The headscarf suits her. Why deny her humanity? The cancer has not devoured her radiance or warmth. She's still a woman, but I look away and tick her off. Searching through my phone list, I spot her entry there. The grapevines told me she's died last month. No more ring for her. She's beyond reach. Should cross her out now. She's dead after all. No, Lisa, not yet. But then, what's the point? And slowly, I delete her with the sign of the cross. This I wrote in January, and yeah, I thought I'd write something more angry, but that's what came out of it. Black olives. Deep tracks in dry soil. Dust forever unsettled. Olive branches not offered, splintered and crushed. Shadow of concrete wall casts darkness on old man. They bulldoze his trees. His grandpa's olive tree. Not much I can do that of buying this beautiful bow, crafted by Rob, refugee from tank ravaged wood. Here, friend, take some olive from my exiled bow. The black, and I wish I could be some better. A bit of religion now. Psalm 151. The Lord is my shepherd. He'll cage me in his pen, and he'll shear off my fleece. He'll take away my lambs, he'll have them slaughtered, and he'll have them devoured. When he reckons my day has come, he'll render me to the butcher too. Yeah, verily, the Lord is my shepherd. Young and wise. Ah, to be young and wise. To surely know it all. To have your answers pet from stacks of certainties. Myself of 30 years ago would be calling me a cynic. Would blame me for giving up and pity my loss of faith. I envy his brash convictions, his courage and drivenness, his firm belief in assured results and the only logical outcome. Do you expect an answer now? Twist that puts it all together? Ask someone half my age, for all I've got is questions. But I've learned this on the way. The just will very often fail. The good will not of right prevail. And no one gives a shit. This one, you kind of know. It's called Bush Recites Yeats. I will arise and fly now and bomb Iraq to bits. And the small cabins torch there of clay and wattle made. Fine bean rows will I bulldoze there and hide of terrorists. And kill alone in a jet-loud glaze. And I shall have some war there. The war comes dropping slow. Dropping from the flights of the morning, let a rocket sing. There midnight's all a glimmer, and noon a purple glow, and evening full of bombers' wings. I will arise and scorch now, for always night and day. I hear the Gulf oil lapping in tankers by the shore, while I destroy the roadways, and all the pavements grey. I stab Islam in the deep heart. Oh, yeah. gets the most applause, eh? Eiffel Tower. Steely syringe pricking the clouds over Paris. From the depths of the earth, ore pilots towards heaven. Girders, beams and lift shafts and tanker loads of paint. Proud pinnacle and totem of a modernist Iron Age. Acme of power and progress, marching on non-stoppably. Only the sky is the limit, and that gets pierced. A secular Jacob's ladder leading where? Nothing divine up there in France's godless skies. Just an extravagant showpiece of what only man can do. A mighty priapic erection thrust into blue void, forever coming to a faked peak. My piece. I'd really like the Dalai Lama to come and co-chair with me in front of my old fireplace, a meeting of Putin and Obama, the leaders of Arabs and Jews and the heads of UN and EU. While I make tea and serve biscuits, we have it all out and talk it all over, and then release thick flocks of doves and exchange groves of olive branches. Everlasting, never-ending peace, as in Tehran, Pax, or Minibus. But the snag is, trying to secure world security would demand, would surely demand two involved security arrangements. And anyway, agents won't be allowed to set foot on my neighbor's field, given my feud with that idiot. Covered for Hitler. What is that screaming baby boy born to the Hitlers in Braunau, at the cool grey Alpine River Inn, has been stolen by passing gypsies? Growing up in a painted wagon, he has stirred some sleepy market towns with ancient, sweetly haunting tunes flowing wildly from his fiddle, which for ages wandering tribesmaids then might not have been herded to Auschwitz. What if Hitler had been born with Downs and his daddy gave him a football? He might have dazzled the world as the leader of the Austrian Special Olympics team. Or having contracted polio and been taunted from early youth, he might have had his triumph of will from just learning to walk upright. His disabled pals might not have been dumped them as worthless subhumans at Auschwitz. What if that lonesome brooding loner, home from school, had been cheered by warm smiles and kisses and tender hugs, by affection and understanding? He might have softened and opened up to all sorts of folk with a difference, and without prejudice, shame or disgust, perhaps even made love with a man. His warm brothers might not have been burnt then by cold men stoking ovens at Auschwitz. Hey. What if a jobless young Führer had finally found a factory job and joined his colleagues in militant strikes and been chosen to head their union, safely cradled by worker solidarity, with no need to crave racial supremacy? He might have stirred proletarian pride and not those cold cauldrons of Aryan blood. His comrades might not have been mocked down by the labour makes free of Auschwitz. What if an artistic Adolf had joined the old New Age Bohème of Vienna, had learned about yoga, Kabbalah and Freud, gone along to seances, bar mitzvahs and mass, to parties with Fritz, Ruth, Hilda and Heim, and enjoyed how we're all only human? He might have grown wise in this fertile mix of the master race and the chosen people. His Jewish friends might not have been cult then, as Holocaust cattle at Auschwitz. What? There had been plenty of toys, and playgrounds, and playmates for Hitler. If there had been tickles and giggles and fun, and warmth, and love, and cuddles. What if we dealt with our demons in time? If we really cared for those suffering. We teach our children to help and to heal, not to hoard and to hurt and to hate. Only then that our fellow humans might hope for a world that is safe from Auschwitz. Last one, Scotland. I'm a kaleidoscope of possible lines, of missed chances, persistent doubts and avalanching futures, infusing me like dope. I use my stethoscope for listening inward, sounding out the rhythms of stillness and stress, fear and compassion, and I'm manic or mope. I use my periscope for a panoramic view over that cold, murky pool of ancient genes and taboos, adapting ancestral customs from evolution's tightrope. I use my telescope to reach out further, to scan our horizon for the greater picture, for the true perspective and new direction to grow. I use my microscope for a questioning look into the nooks and crannies of my battered conscience, without reason or chance to be holier than the Pope. I use my horoscope to nudge my intuition, a tough diagram of potential tangle of competing energies that irreconcilable opposites challenge me to cope. I am the boundless scope of all that was and is, of mud and amoeba, of monkeys and parents, of history and fate. I am my only hope. Thank you.